Hi everyone, Lisa Gunther here with Kelly Sidorek, and today we're going to talk a little bit about leadership in nonprofit and community organizations. Kelly, just tell us a bit about your take on this issue, which I mean, I think it affects our rural community, every community, but our rural communities quite a bit.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think that traditionally there's been a history of communities coming together and joining and supporting the nonprofit community-based organizations to help them fulfill whatever needs are going on. But, you know, certainly I think that there's a lot of challenges that keep coming up, and, you know, trying to balance about how we operate in our nonprofits as opposed to our businesses, hopefully for profits. And there's a lot of similarities that maybe we should be paying attention to.
Mm-hmm. One thing you talked about was the two different types of boards. So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, what I've learned just really from experience, you know, the good old 4-H motto, learn to do by doing, you know, where the maybe at a community level, very active working boards. So they're, you know, day to day, they're helping do the work. They're quite hands on. But as opposed to other boards that are not like that and run from a policy governance model. There's more than one out there, more than one model, but one that I'm familiar with is called the Carver model. And really in that one, the main linkage is between the board and the executive director or the general manager, whatever you want to call it. And parameters are set and expectations, but really it all is driven through a policy model. So those expectations are in there.
Yeah, and I often, like, I think sometimes of, I don't know, boards I've been on and just in the community, and sometimes it maybe it's not clear which model people are following with the boards. How do you get that clarity?
Well, I think, you know, in some cases, first of all, the knowledge and maybe the decision to sit down and say, what resources do we have and what's available? Can we be more of a hands-off? Does that serve the organization better? And I guess really, without getting too formal, it means having a bit more of a structure. And not unlike what we talk about in our family businesses, but getting people on the same page for their goals and what are the expectations and making sure those are communicated well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You also, I mean, you talked a little bit really about, it was kind of about succession,
yes.
Right, with
yes.
The onboarding and that type of thing.
Yes. Well, one of the boards that I belonged to that I always really admired was they were quite strategic in their thinking to look at what were the different skill sets that they really needed on that board. Well, we did need, it's ag-based, and we did need some producers and practitioners. But then we started to also think about, what about, because it's a nonprofit, people that are specialists in the development or fundraising field. What about having somebody that's familiar with computers and technology? I think that each organization is, of course, different depending on what their board is made up of. But I've always really appreciated the way we actually have a metrics, a spreadsheet with some of the different characteristics that we're looking for, and then seeing where we have gaps. And of course, you know, also thinking about once you have the people selected or invited, everybody gets on boards in different ways. You know, sometimes it is by invitation, sometimes it's a vote. But then putting that together so that there's an onboarding process too, same as the succession, you know, so that if somebody's coming to fill my role, then what do they need to know to, you know, to contribute, history of the organization, you know, the organizational structure, what is the strategic plan for 5 years down the road?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Did that come from kind of new members saying, hey, we need some onboarding, or was it how did the board arrive at that decision?
Well, they had a process for it initially, and it was in a policy actually, and then it just, like so many things happen, there hadn't been that many new people for a while, and you get a little bit lax in doing it. And so I think it's really good. Another one is maybe existing board members have a buddy system with a newcomer, so that, you know, mentoring, I guess, is what you would call that to help so that there's a good fluid transition. And then also, really importantly, is thinking about the leadership. Because as anybody knows who's been in chair roles, that can take quite a lot of time. I'm very familiar with when they're trying to get encourage somebody to step into the chair. Oh, no, it's not that big of a time commitment. And everybody that ends up, there's like, oh my gosh, this was massive. And not everybody that's participating on our board has capacity to make that commitment. So, you know, and I think, okay, so, you know, we've got a board or a chair, we have a vice chair. Well, who do we have coming down the ranks? That, you know, they still, it's hard to step into a chair when you're brand new on a board. So, you know, having some continuity of senior members, middle, and then junior or newcomers to get the new ideas flowing. I think another unfortunate situation that happens is, not unlike our farming operations, sometimes the senior generation doesn't always recognize that they need to step out of the way. You know, well, there's nobody here to take over. Well, it's a catch-22, right? Because there needs to be a position for them to step into.
Yeah, I think sometimes, I mean, yeah, I think sometimes when you step back, someone will step in.
Yeah,
that's kind of,
yeah. Yes, yeah. And, you know, maybe it occurs to me as we're talking, you need some kind of stop gaps or make sure you have a plan B, but always thinking about, okay, you know, what are the terms on this? Okay, well, they're chair for 2 years. This one goes in for two. Who's coming up after that?
Yeah. That's interesting too, because I've also been part of boards where there is a set term, 2 years, 4 years, and others where it's really open-ended. And with the open-ended ones, I started saying, I'm only going to do this for 2 years.
Yes.
Or whatever. Like, maybe it doesn't need to be. But what's your take on that? Like, is it always good to have a set term? Or
I think so, because and to have that mix between, so that not all of a sudden 8 of the 10 board come due at the same time. So being a bit strategic about how you stagger the terms. But in most places and organizations, you can always have a shorter term if you want. You know, like, okay, I'm not going to commit to the 3-year term, but I will stay for another year. Like, a lot of organizations have enough flexibility to be able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, and the other thing, and I'll say, I personally, this is something I used to struggle with when I was younger before I knew how to say no, which is just taking on too much, right?
Yes, yes.
And yeah, I don't know, how can boards, I guess, is that something that you as an individual just have to deal with yourself, or can other people sort of nudge you?
Well, and maybe it's the idea too, again, about thinking about what are the roles and responsibilities. Let's get real clear on this. And what is it staff's doing, and what is it that board's doing? And I think, you know, having that conversation, which again, I keep linking it back to our own farms and ranches, you know, getting real clarity on that and have some documents around that also.
Yeah, that's a good point. Just knowing what your actual, what's within your scope and what somebody else.
Yes, yes. And even if you're considering becoming a board member, and then, and there's some sort of document that says, well, here's the roles and responsibilities, so that, you know, that the existing organization has come up with together. So, you know, a lot of time can be spent on leadership because it's an important piece of it.
Mm-hmm. Another thing you mentioned in your column was, you know, often after meetings, there's further discussion just because, you know, you start thinking about things and you come up with more ideas. How do you do that in a way so that everybody's included and it's, you know, sort of follows whatever your code of ethics is?
Yes, I don't know. I guess you're hitting on it right there, like a code of ethics or a code of conduct. Everybody knows, even though you should, the meeting after the meeting in the parking lot, right?
Yeah.
But I think, you know, hopefully creating a culture where the leadership would recognize and say, holy cow, there's still a lot of issues that we didn't address, and probably we shouldn't wait for another quarterly meeting.
Right.
We better have one where we're addressing some of these things. You know, I mean, a little bit of venting, if you will, and expressing frustration is certainly fine. But I think we need to be mindful that it doesn't get to something where all of a sudden, you know, different triads or things happen that are damaging to the organization. We all have been in those. We can recognize that quite clearly, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And I think these days it's more, it could be in the parking lot, but it's quite likely to happen through text messages
or
something.
Yes, yes. And even, you know, with the use of technology, I like the ideas of maybe even just starting an email chain afterwards, you know, like further thoughts. And that's kind of unstructured, but still, I think it's a way that if people really have some good ideas, it's good to express them sooner rather than later.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else you want to add, Kelly?
Well, you know, I think that there's just such an important part of our communities on a local level and even broader than that, that, you know, and developing our own skills in leadership for nonprofits and then being able to share those with the new group that's coming in to help take over so that meetings are well ran and that decisions are made and you don't spend a lot of time spinning your wheels because people are busy and that doesn't always come as an encouraging thing to be part of an organization.
Yeah. For sure, I agree completely. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, great, Bisa. Thanks.